It's Saturday morning and time for the Coach's Show. An in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
Good morning and welcome to the Coach's Show. Happy New Year, the best of 2021 to everyone listening here this morning on the Coach's Show. All right, we are joined by Lincoln Athletic Director and Blue Tigers head basketball coach John Mosley. We're going to talk about the basketball team. We're going to talk about the athletic department and working through the pandemic. First of all, Happy New Year. Welcome to the show, Coach.
Thank you for having me. Happy New Year to all of you guys.
You've been the Director of Athletics at Lincoln University since April of 2016, and you've been involved in a number of projects. You've been busy, haven't you?
Yes, sir. It's been a good time. My timing was great getting to Jefferson City and then having the opportunity initially to coach basketball and then become the athletic director. It's been a lot of good things that have happened that I've just kind of been a part of by happenchance, I think. But it's the link is up and great. It's a great time of year to go walking at the link right now with the winter weather outside, which is a huge feather in our cap at the university, partnering with the city on that one. And then athletically, you know, I do think that we've made huge improvements in many of our areas, and we're still working to make sure we're competitive across the landscape of the MIAA and all of the sports that we offer.
What project are you most proud of right now?
It's not necessarily a project that you could see from a construction standpoint, but I'm very proud of the relationship we've built with the city of Jefferson, with this community, seeing the community support with where things were when I arrived initially in April of 2014 to where they are now. The growth of the Blue Tiger Athletic Club has been one of the things that I'm most proud of, because I understand the value of making sure that people here understand that Lincoln is the university, that's Jefferson City's university. And so it's been fun to watch people that I've heard about, and then we invite them to come to a game, and they come and they see what it is that we're doing. And then they want to be a part of it. You know, our student athletes were coming off another stellar fall semester academically on our basketball team. Seven out of 11 made the dean's list. Those things I think were happening, but maybe the university wasn't doing as good of a job of promoting it. But we've got tremendous young people that are representing Lincoln University, our alum in this community, and so I'm very proud of them.
Discuss the importance of the student athlete for me.
Well, you know, I've been a huge proponent of athletics. Think about the lessons that you learn through sports that benefit you the rest of your life. Now, my lifestyle stayed within the realm of athletics, but these athletes, especially in Division II, they are using their athletic ability to help them get an education. Not as many of our students will go pro. Certainly some of them will. But most of them, as the commercial once stated, will go pro in something other than their sport. And for us at the university, I believe that athletics is the front porch to the institution. It gets people to care about the university. You know, you're asking me at a good time. I'm finishing up my dissertation. I've been writing a ton about what athletics means to an institution. And as far as donations going up, successful athletic programs have been known to increase admissions or admissions interest to an institution. And so there's these student athletes, they spend a lot of time in their sport. In Division II, many of them also have outside responsibilities, whether it's working or some other community project. And so I sincerely appreciate it. Having no Division II experience before arriving in Jeff City, it's been really neat to watch it grow and to understand better now how much work these young people put in to be Division II athletes.
The last sentence in your bio caught my eye earlier this week, and it talks about your family, and it says you are proud members of the Jefferson City community.
Absolutely. You know, when we came to town, we bought a house. We wanted to make sure that this community knew that we wanted to be a part of it. I've got a fifth grader, 11-year-old. She's going to be a decent little athlete. I try not to tell her too much because she's probably already more athletic than I ever was. But I have to keep her humble, and at this point I can still beat her one-on-one. So, but she's going to be a good athlete, and it's a great community to raise a family. My wife is an instructor at the university. We never imagined. I mean, truly, I think if we're being honest with myself, I thought I would come in as a hotshot young Division I assistant basketball coach. I became a Division II head coach. I thought we would win enough games to get opportunities. I didn't expect to be named the athletic director. We did start to turn the basketball program in some regards. I have had opportunities to leave, but we really, really genuinely love it here. And this community, I think, it's been a win-win relationship for both sides. And we're hoping to be in Jefferson City for a long time.
You know, we've talked to high school athletic directors about dealing with and navigating through the COVID-19 pandemic. From the perspective of the colleges and at Lincoln University, how have you been able to do that?
Well, you know, we have a few more requirements than the high schools do at this point. Fortunately, in the MIAA, they leave a lot of it to your local health department. And our health department here in Cole County has been a great ally, both for the university and for the athletic department. We do have to test more frequently. We test once a week. Our men's and women's basketball players just got back into town on Tuesday. We tested on New Year's Eve to make sure that nobody came back with it unknowingly, because as we know that some of these cases are asymptomatic and the student or the individual doesn't know that they have it. But for us, we have to test once a week, and we have to test what we call Tier 1 individuals, and that's all individuals that are associated with the program, whether it's coaches, players, managers, athletic trainers, the strength coach, to ensure that the entire group is negative. And so it has been a journey. I told our coaches early in the year, and I think we saw it some last night in the football playoffs. I heard Nick Saban say it after the game. The teams that just kind of adjust on the fly the best are going to be the teams that succeed through this thing, because as coaches, you often try to control as much as you can, but much of this is out of your control. And so you have to just learn to coach the players that are there that day, learn to make game plans with the players that you have, and just have fun with it. It's a very odd year. It's different from a crowd standpoint. You know, many of our programs in the MIAA, we're only allowed 25% of capacity, and many of them are doing less than that. We're fortunate here in Jeff, we are doing 25% for home games, but it's different. Just kind of roll with it. Have a good time. Make the best of it.
What's the latest from the MIAA as far as, I know that they suspended the fall sports until at least, I believe, yesterday.
Yes, sir. So we are planning to practice with their fall sports, primarily at Lincoln. That's going to be football. We are not going to have any kind of cross country season. We're going straight into winter indoor track, and then we'll go into spring track. But football team will start practicing once school starts back January 19th, with the anticipation that we're going to play three games here in the spring. It won't be a full season. It really won't count on their record. It'll be pretty much three exhibition games to give those guys a chance to kind of see how things are. Where they are. I know Coach Hoskins has done a great job in the fall. They did get some practices in early. They've spent time in the weight room in the fall and obviously taking care of their classwork. And then the staff, they've been out recruiting a ton. And so now it really is like a redshirt year for all of those kids. So we're hoping to see some improvement and to allow some of our athletes to get a little older. We haven't had the luxury in the past of redshirting too many freshmen because we needed them to play, whereas many of our people in the MIAA have. And so we're hoping that that's one benefit that comes out of COVID.
All right, you are scheduled to resume MIAA basketball action next week. Tell us about your basketball team.
I've got a really fun team to coach. We've got some good pieces. Savon Witt is a big kid that transferred in from KCK Junior College, just over the border. He's a sophomore on the court, and he's a load. He's been MIAA Player of the Week already. He was last week. He was Small College HBCU Player of the Week. He's about 6'7", looks like an NFL tight end. Great set of hands, and one of the best interior players that we've had since we've been here. And then we've got a group of guards that are really good. Cam Potts and Sean Rigmaiden have been in our program for a couple of years. And then we added some newcomers, a shooter out of Holly, Colorado, Yah Vidal, and then a young man from who played up the road at Moberly Junior College. We know many of your listeners know the history of Moberly Junior College, but Quentin Drayton joined their program and has been a big part of it. So we really like our group. We go about eight deep. We've got an inside-out combination, and it's a fun atmosphere. We are doing tickets. We do have tickets available on Wednesdays of each week that we have a home game at lublutigers.com/tickets. We are completely digital this year, so you purchase your tickets before you come in, and we just scan you in when you get to the game. But I encourage you, if you haven't been out yet to see Lincoln men's basketball play, I encourage you to come out and take a peek.
Thursday, you will take on Nebraska Kearney. Tip-off scheduled for 7:30. Right back at it. And Saturday, Fort Hays State. That's a 3 o'clock tip-off. Last basketball game you guys had, I think, was December the 17th. So you've had an opportunity to kind of step away for a couple of days, haven't you?
We did. It's one of the biggest benefits of being Division II is you're required to give them a week off. It's called life in the balance, where we try to make sure we understand that these are still young people with lives. And so it's great for the coaches, too. It was great to get away. But I was excited to get back in the gym with them on Tuesday. We'll be back at it here this morning pretty early and get a good Saturday workout in and then sit back and watch a little football.
You're off to a good start at 4-2, aren't you?
Yes, sir. I do think that we've got a pretty good team. We were picked ninth in the MIAA. I told the players, I mean, there's benefits of being picked there. I dare say, unless some injuries or something crazy happens, we certainly don't have ninth place talent this year. I think this group is the group that can make the jump into the top half of the MIAA. The MIAA, once again, is loaded, but you've got Northwest at number one in the country. And then there's a bunch of teams fighting for 2 through 5. And I'd be disappointed if we're not one of those teams that are knocking on that door. We've played the top half of the league right now already. We've got 6 games at home in January. You've got to win your home games, protect home court, and then you've got to go on the road and steal some. But I think this group is built to be a really good team. They've been hardworking. They've been everything we've asked as far as off the court, and they're extremely coachable on the court. So I think I really do. I've been pretty passive in the past about promoting our teams. My philosophy is under promise and over deliver, but I do think this is a group that can deliver for us.
Coach, thanks for the visit this morning. Continued success on the hardwood floor.
Thanks so much, and thanks for having me on today.
Thank you, Coach. Lincoln University Director of Athletics and Head Basketball Coach John Mosley, our guest on the KWOS Coaches Show, back with more after the break.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Is 2021 the year you can retire? It may be time to prepare what you've saved in your retirement plans to work for you the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Let Greg strive to make your retirement everything you imagined. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
Itty, bitty, little, disgusting, icky feet. 6 of them, skittering by your head while you sleep, nestling down against your skin and diving in for a bite. That's how bedbugs live, you know, off of you. Bedbugs are like the vampires of the arthropods, drinking your blood while you sleep. Vampires, except not like the sexy ones in those old-time movies. So it seems you have 2 choices. Burn every bed and pillow you own in a gigundous fire, or call your friend Steve.
I'm Steve with Steve's Pest Control. If you want your bed bugs removed, eradicated, or just plain old-fashioned dead, we're going to solve your pest problem. I guarantee it.
From the tiniest mites to the meanest moles, call Steve's Pest Control. Online at stevespestcontrol.com.
Now you got a friend in the pest control business, Steve's Pest Control.
Take Heart Radio. Here's Dr. Monty Schenkel.
Go out quickly in the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now you say, Brother Monty, what has this got to do with Christmas? They had received notice ahead of time. The master of the supper had prepared the supper. There was going to be a supper. And so you get ready. You ever get one of these through the mail that says, save the date? We don't know exactly when. We don't know exactly where. Well, we know that on this particular date, it's going to be time. It's going to be time. We don't know exactly all the details, but you need to save the date.
To hear more messages from Take Heart Radio, visit us online at concordjc.org.
Lose that weight. Stop smoking. Watch less Netflix. Everyone has a New Year's resolution, but at the Missouri Heart Center, a fresh start on a new healthy life is waiting for you. At the Missouri Heart Center, they want you to keep your New Year's resolution and start paying attention to the health of your heart. Isn't it time for a new you in the new year?
Missouri Heart Center. Comprehensive cardiovascular care in the heart of Missouri. MoHeartCenter.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Elias Crusaders head basketball coach Joe Rothweiler joins us now on the Coaches Show. Joe Mockin's Grade 8 Classic earlier in the week. And, Coach, you had a good tournament, didn't you?
Yeah, we really did, Kevin. It was a good learning experience for us and three really good games.
You know, three basketball games in 3 days, three rivalry games in 3 days. I bet you guys were a little bit tired after Wednesday night's last basketball game.
Oh, yeah, we were exhausted. I was mentally exhausted, and I know our guys were physically and mentally exhausted after. So you know, it's not very often you play three rivalry games in three consecutive days, and it's definitely a grind.
All right, on Monday you open up against the Blair Oaks Falcons, had a huge second half, and you get Desmond White getting 28 points, and I believe Malcolm Davis with another 23 as you win the ball game by 11.
Yeah, we really were able to open things up in the second half, and a big part of that was Desmond knocking down some huge shots and creating some offense off of our defense too as well. And both those guys, Malcolm and Des, both played a tremendous second half.
The middle game, a tough loss, a three at the buzzer, and Father Tolton wins by a score of 52-49. That game is close. You were leading by one after one, by one at the half, and by one after three quarters of play.
We really were. And that's the game I think we kind of let it get away from us. We had the lead at several points, and we didn't shoot the ball particularly well that game. We did a great job on the defensive end and really, really honed in on our scouting report and held them to the number we thought we needed to hold them to. But I think on the offensive end, we had some struggles and maybe some of our decision-making and cost us a little bit down the stretch. And also the fact that they're a good team and they're a good defensive team, and it was tough to get good looks at the rim against them.
And then the last game you took on the Jefferson City Jays, and that went back and forth as far as leads were concerned, and really didn't get any bigger as far as the lead was concerned at more than one or two points. That was tied at several times. You finally got separation at the end. You win a ball game 59-53.
Yeah, I was proud of our guys for really. After a night against Tolton where we maybe made some decisions that were questionable on the offensive end, I thought we played a very high IQ third and fourth quarter against Jeff City, and that was able to let us get a win there. It shows that we learned from some of the mistakes that we made in the previous night, and hopefully we can continue to learn from those and win some close ball games down the stretch.
Boy, you got a great game from Damon Johans against Jefferson City, didn't you?
Yeah, he played. I mean, without him, we go home with a loss. He's a senior. He's always made big plays for us. But I think in that moment there, he kind of stepped up and thought that was his time. And some other guys were having off nights. And he's a capable scorer. And he does so many more things besides scoring the basketball that get kind of overlooked. But he really put our show that night.
You know, three games in 3 days against three mid-Missouri schools that you're very familiar with. What did you learn about your basketball team coming out of the tournament?
I learned that we definitely got the pieces. I think the main area we struggled throughout the week was rebounding the basketball. And when you look at those three games, especially the first two against Blair Oaks and Tolton, with the size that they have, we knew rebounding was going to be a struggle. But just because we're a little bit undersized, and they got size that you don't typically see in a high school basketball team. But we learned we got to do a lot better job just with effort on the boards and locking guys out if we're going to be an undersized team and win the games we need to win down the stretch.
One of the things I wanted to talk with you about this morning is the fact that when the district assignments came out earlier in the month, you moved up two classes, up to class six. And, of course, they added a class. So, really, I don't know if it's so much you moved up two classes as much as you moved up a class because they've added a class. But you are now in class six, and you're in a district that has all the conference schools in it, in Sedalia, Smith Cotton, Helias, Capital City, and Jefferson City. Your thoughts, first of all, on the district and moving up a couple of classes?
You know, it's going to be a fun district. All teams we're familiar with. We were really surprised when we woke up that morning and saw that we're going to be in Class Six. But the new way, the new system that Mission has in place with the championship factor. We knew we were going to go up because of the success we've had the last 6 years. But we just didn't know we'd be put into Class Five off of raw enrollment. The way they broke it down, so you look at the numbers, and we're one of the smallest Class Five schools by enrollment numbers, and then take that point system and bump you up, and we're going to be in a class with a lot of schools that are double the size of us. But it worked out the way it works out. We'll step in and give it our best shot, and I think we still have a good chance to do some good things once we get to postseason.
With the pandemic, you've had to make some changes as far as your schedule is concerned. The last time I checked the schedule, you were scheduled to go to the Houlihan invite on January the 7th through the 9th. Is that still on your schedule?
It is, yeah. Right now, they're trying to find one more team. Vianney couldn't come because of travel restrictions in their area, but we're going. We just do not know exactly who all. We know we'll be playing Springfield Catholic, and we know we'll be playing Cape Notre Dame, which are two really good teams that we had two really good games with last year. So we'll see. Hopefully they can find somebody. The way things are right now, a lot of times you can find a team to jump in at the last moment. But if not, we'll still be going down and at least playing two games or possibly playing Springfield Catholic's JV just to get that extra game in.
It'll be a busy January for your basketball team. I think you play the Jays, Capital City, Father Tolton, and Columbia Hickman. You have only one home game in the month of January.
Yeah, the schedule is a little bit turned upside down right now. When we had to move a few things around because we lost the tournament at the beginning of the season when we couldn't go to Willard because of COVID. Mm-hmm. But so now we filled that in. We're able to find a tournament in Bolivar that we're going to go to at the end of the month. So, yeah, our schedule is kind of fluid right now. But hopefully everything plays out and we'll be able to keep playing. That's all we're looking forward to.
Thanks for the visit, Coach. Good luck in January.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
All right. Helias Crusaders head basketball coach Joe Wathryler. They head into the month of January with a record of 5-2. Good month of December for the Helias Crusaders. Back with more after the break.
Events are fluid.
We will not be increasing our police budget.
Details are constantly changing. Check back at the top of the hour for the latest on 104.5 News Radio 950 KWOS.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Is 2021 the year you can retire? It may be time to prepare what you've saved in your retirement plans to work for you the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Let Greg strive to make your retirement everything you imagined. Securities and advisory services offer. Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. We are joined now by Capital City Cavaliers head basketball coach Darren Young. Coach, earlier in the week, they had the Joe Mockins Grade 8 Classic at the Fleming Fieldhouse. Did I see you over there doing a little scouting?
I did. I'm always trying to be proactive and get ahead of the competition and kind of scope out and see what it is that we need to prepare for here as we get ready for the districts when we play both of those teams.
Coaches, I don't think, ever walk away from a gym during basketball season. If they don't have a game, they're watching somebody else play, aren't they?
Absolutely. I mean, the good ones are ones that are always trying to get ahead and just see, you know, I'm very, very competitive. So I'm looking for any edge and just, you know, do as much as I can to have our guys just prepare for those games and opportunities.
You will get back at it. Now, it'll be a busy week for you next week. You're 5-3 on the season. You had a busy first month of the basketball season, didn't you?
We did. We played a lot of games kind of back-to-back-to-back, which was still a good experience for us, just because obviously when you get to district play, it's going to be very similar to that kind of format. And overall, I was impressed with how it responded to the first, I guess, third of our schedule.
Yeah, you're 5-3 on the season, a Tipton tournament title as you beat Smithton to win that by a score of 74-67. Other wins over Eugene, Chamoy, Vienna, and Moberly. Losses have been to good basketball teams in Stratford, Columbia Hickman, and the Fatima Comets.
Absolutely. I mean, all of our losses were teams that, one, I was proud of how we played in all those games, but you look at all three of those clubs. Hickman's, very senior heavy. They're going to have a really good stretch of the season here. Fatima, I project, will easily win 20 games, and I look for them, if they get out of districts, they'll go definitely be a Final Four team. And Stratford's always competitive, and they're always above 500. So three really good ball clubs with three various styles of play that was good for us to kind of experience at that particular point in the season.
We saw you play against Stratford and got down in double digits in the first quarter, and it looked like it wasn't going to be a very good night for the Capital City Cavaliers, and boy, you came storming back and made it a close basketball game.
We did, and our guys showed some resiliency and some fight, which was, as a coach, you always want to see that regardless of the score. And, we had a couple opportunities at the very end of the game to tie it up and almost take the lead, but I'm hoping that we take that game and that experience and we have it in our minds when we get in close games like that, how important it is to, one, not let ourselves get in a situation like that early on, but then secondly, that we've got to be even more competitive in order to end up on the winning side of ball games like that.
Yeah, I remember that game, and you guys got hot from the three-point arc in the ball game, didn't you?
We did. And I think that I told our guys at halftime of that game, I said, hey, you guys have prepared and you've taking a lot of those shots and practices, and you put in the reps, so it's going to fall in the second half, and it was just a matter of time when those shots did. But unfortunately, when you're playing really good ball clubs, your percentages are going to have to be better if you want to come out on the winning end of that. So I think now that we've got Blake Meredith back for this next stretch of games, I think that'll help us out tremendously, both on the offensive and the defensive side of the ball.
Last game that you played was on December the 15th, so you've had an opportunity for players maybe to step away for a couple of days and get the batteries recharged.
Absolutely. I honestly think that this time of the year is probably the most pivotal outside of the off season, just because it's a time where mentally guys don't have to focus on anything else primarily, but, just the basketball aspect of their lives and, some family and social stuff here and there. But it's given us as a staff a chance to really kind of bond with our guys. And then also just kind of be reflective about things that we need to improve on as a whole. Typically during the season, it's very systematic in terms of, and strategic on the opponent you're trying to prepare for and things that you're trying to put in place. So when you have such a gap in games, a gap in between the next game, it gives you a chance to really just improve as a team collectively on the things that you need to get better at. And like I said earlier, just really build a good rapport and relationship with our kids. So it's, practices are a little bit more lax, but it's a time to really just, interact with our guys and laugh and joke and, come be closer together as a unit.
As you move through this basketball season, I think sometimes we forget the fact that this is only the second year of varsity basketball at Capital City High School.
It is. I say that, and it's something that I try to keep in perspective in the back of my head, but you take this into consideration, too. Not only are we talking about the second year of the program playing varsity, but you're still dealing with, we've got some freshmen that are playing, some JV varsity men as well. So you're still dealing with, from the age standpoint, 14, 15, 16-year-old kids. I mean, we don't have any kids on our team that are 17 years old. So even from a maturity standpoint and just learning how to be a young man, that's still a process that we're working through as well as a program, as we try to teach a lot of the skills that, the skills and accountability traits that are required to be successful young men. So it's definitely a process that we're being patient with as a staff.
What do you like most about your basketball team as you head into the month of January?
I think that what I've enjoyed most as a coach about them is that they're very receptive. Our our players aren't ones where they feel like they have all the answers, and they're willing to learn and willing to be coached. And, you know, as a coach, that's what you want. You want guys that are going to take the instruction that you're going to give them and are going to allow you to educate them in as many ways as possible. So that's what I'd say I'd appreciate the most, is their willingness to learn and their willingness to be receptive to what it is that we're exposing them to. So I've been very appreciative of that as a coach. It's made it a very inviting environment and just something that I'm appreciative of.
The player you talked about earlier coming back into the lineup in January gives you additional size inside, doesn't it?
He does. You know, and one of the things that Blake's provided, he went through all of last year, and he provides experience. You know, when you have a guy that's played, you know, 20-plus minutes, and he was very productive for us both offensively. I think he averaged 14 or 15 points last year and was averaging about 16 this year and then 8 or 9 rebounds. I mean, his presence was definitely missed. And we'll be glad to have him back. And then you can just tell, even having him in practices, it's made some of those other players feel more at ease, knowing that he's there and they can rely on him in those situations.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about it quite a bit, that due to the pandemic, schedules have changed just a bit. They've changed so far, and they probably will change as we move down the road. I mention that because what I have for you this week coming up is a game Tuesday at Columbia Rockbridge, a home game against Columbia Battle on Thursday, which will be broadcast right here on KWOS. And then Friday you're headed to, I believe, Centralia. Is that the current schedule?
Yes, that is correct. And all those teams are going to be very good opponents for us. Rockbridge, obviously, you know, they're a very rich tradition as far as their basketball is concerned, with all their sports. But they've got a really good player, and their point guard, Xavier Sykes, is going to be tough to prepare for. And then Thursday, Battle is, you know, physical and athletic all across the board at all five positions. And then Centralia, they've got a lot of really good players as well, similar to Stratford. So it's going to be a nice stretch of games here with some really good competition ahead of us.
And you talked about the point guard for Columbia Rockbridge. When Battle comes in here on Thursday, Cachao Giaquinto is their point guard, and he's played and started for them since he was a freshman, now a senior.
Yes. I mean, he's a very talented player. And they kind of rely on him to kind of stir their ship, if you will. I mean, he's a catalyst for their team. He brings a lot of energy. And it's one of those opportunities where our guys are going to have to rise to the occasion and match his energy if we want to be successful in that game. And they've got some other role players as well that are elevated by Cachao's play. So it's going to be a very competitive game. And I expect it to come down to the wire. And we told our guys all this week that, you know, as we look at these next stretch of games and even districts, when I was watching the games at Jeff City High School, it's all about who has the desire to win. When you talk about loose balls and rebounding and preparation to win those games, it's about how bad do you want to win. And that's where we have to be the ones that are more determined in that category than our opponents.
You'll be pretty busy in the month of January. I think you also go to the California tournament and a game against the Helias Crusaders in January.
Yes. I mean, it's going to be a really good atmosphere when we play Helias. And just, I know for myself personally, just watching them those last couple of days, the anticipation, obviously not looking too far ahead, but knowing that we'll play them in districts, the anticipation is definitely building up. And I think with our guys having some familiarity with them, some of them have played AAU together, some of them have grown up together. So it's definitely a game on our schedule that we're really looking forward to.
Let's talk about district for just a second. There's four teams in the district. It'll be Capital City, Jefferson City, Helias, and Sedalia Smith Cotton, all four teams in the Central Missouri Activities Conference. So you'll know one another quite well when you head to district play. And, of course, then you talk about the head-to-head, and that all becomes a big factor in where the seeds fall.
Yes, you know, when they first came out, it was a delay by Misha, but when they first came out on December, I think it was the 11th, mm-hmm. You know, you as a coach, you try not to get too ahead of things, but it's definitely something to where you look and you say, okay, you begin with the end in mind and say, how do I get my team ready for districts whenever it is? I think it's the first week of March or last week in February, I'm not sure, but it's definitely something where strategically you slowly start putting things in place to make sure you're prepared for those opponents in those games. So it's going to be a very unique experience where you're playing with two out of the three teams being in that district, both being ones that are, you know, right in the backyard. So, I mean, we've had 6, 7, 8 game films on each team, so it's not going to be a surprise on what they do, but more so how do we get our guys more so mentally prepared for that moment and those opportunities.
I think your schedule says you will be at the Southern Boone Invitational in February, and a game against the Jefferson City Jays are among those highlighted in the month of February for you.
Yes, that's going to be a really good tournament for us as well. I believe Boonville's playing in that, in addition to Southern Boone and some other, I think, battle as well. So we'll play some teams that we have some familiarity with, and that's going to be a very competitive environment as well. And like you said, with Jeff City, obviously this will be our first time, or the first time the two schools have played in basketball, but that's another environment and rivalry that I think is definitely going to kick off a really competitive tradition when you look at how we match up with them this year. So I'm really looking forward to that. And, you know, honestly, I'm brewing with excitement for that game as well.
Basketball team heading into next week, averaging about 68 points a ball game. Your thoughts on that?
I think that when you look at the numbers, I feel like looking at our percentages, both from the field, the two-pointers and three-pointer as well, and even the free throw line, there's definitely a lot of room for improvement. I mean, we met as a staff collectively to see what are the areas that we can be more, you know, some of the ways that we can be more efficient on offense. And I think that having a little bit more movement after the initial set is something that's going to drastically improve our offensive efficiency. And trying to teach kids how to play right away and not let the defense just sit so much. So the more we move on offense and lose, you know, not being as stagnant, I think it'll make us a little tougher to guard, and I think you'll see those points increase as far as our offensive production.
I want to go back to the Thursday game against Columbia Battle. I believe the schedule says that's a boys-girls doubleheader. Is that correct?
Yes. It's going to be a long night. It'll be a boys game, a girls game, and then there'll be a boys JV girls game, and then a boys game. So it'll be a fun night. A lot of basketball that day.
Coach, thanks for the visit. Continued success, and we'll see you next Thursday.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Kelly, for having me on. A happy New Year to you as well.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you, Coach. Capital City Cavaliers head basketball coach Darren Young. Again, Tuesday they will be in Columbia to take on the Rockbridge Bruins as they head back into Central Missouri Activities Conference play. Thursday at home as they will meet Columbia Battle in a game that we will broadcast right here on KWOS, 7:15 with our pregame show, 7:30 with the play-by-play. David Fox and I will have that one from Capital City High School. And then they're right back on the road on Friday as they head to Centralia to take on the Panthers. We're back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Is 2021 the year you can retire? It may be time to prepare what you've saved in your retirement plans to work for you the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Let Greg strive to make your retirement everything you imagined. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
This is John
and Wes,
your tractor guys at Rosebud Tractor. Wes, tell them about the stimulus.
Still waiting on it.
No, not that stimulus. The Rosebud Tractor Stimulus Package.
Ah, yes. Before you put your equipment away for the winter, bring it into Rosebud Tractor for a stimulus package. We can service your New Holland equipment so it's ready to go when farming season starts next spring.
Rosebud Tractor.
Your tractor guys in Lynn and Rosebud, Missouri.
Rosebud Tractor.
It's wintertime, and that means it's the holidays. So Air Service having a holiday savings extravaganza for those who want to stop overpaying the utility companies. At Air Serve, we believe the air in which you live and breathe should be comfortable and clean. So right now, you can take advantage of instant cash discounts up to $1,000 or 0% financing options on all furnaces and systems sold through January 2021. Plus, we're extending our free filtration upgrade as well.
Comfortable.
Go to airserve.com to schedule your appointment today.
If you're a do-it-yourself diesel mechanic, I'll bet you've been on the internet trying to figure out what's wrong with your truck or tractor. And that's okay, but if you've reached the limits of your abilities, the limits of your tools, or the limits of your patience, then it's okay to make an appointment for our experienced diesel technicians to take care of your diesel. Capital Diesel, where there's always an owner available to help you.
When you need to be sure, Capital Diesel.
On an all-new Dr. Bill.
How old is too old to be sleeping with mom and dad when you're a bed bug?
We just can't do it anymore. He's almost an adult.
Now, I have to be honest here. You are truly one of the most wretched, disgusting, blood-sucking insects that we have ever had on this show.
I mean, yeah. I'm a bed bug.
Can Dr. Bill help this bug grow his wings and fly?
No. No, I'm a bed bug. We don't have wings.
You need to stop with the excuses.
Today at 4 on Dr. Bill.
Hi, I'm Steve with Steve's Pest Control. And if you ever have a bed bug problem, just call me at Steve's Pest Control. I've got the equipment, the experience, and a team of dedicated experts. If you want your bugs removed, eradicated, or just plain old-fashioned dead, we're going to solve your pest problem. I guarantee it.
Now you got a friend in the pest control business, Steve's Pest Control.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. We are joined now by Jefferson City Jays head wrestling coach Phil Cagle. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you guys.
A good December for you as far as wrestling is concerned.
It has been a good month for us. Our kids have done a good job, and they're trying to overcome everything that everybody else is doing, so they're doing a good job. And we've had to pace ourselves and watch ourselves and try to do things the best we can for our kids.
Good day at the Missouri Duels at Helias.
Yeah, it was. No. We went 4-1 there at the Missouri Duels, and we wrestled really good, and we lost against the Osho, who's a very fine team. And then during our regular season, we're undefeated right now, so we want to try to keep that going.
You take a look at a tournament like the Missouri Duels is typically a 2-day tournament. With the pandemic, it's a 1-day tournament, and you're probably going to run into that pretty much all season long, aren't you?
Yeah, all of our tournaments this year are just 1-day tournaments. I mean, they don't want people spending the night doing this and doing that and traveling. And we're even limited. We can't go to Kansas City or St. Louis. So, we've been scrambling for matches and places to go. And eventually that's going to wind up hurting us towards the end of the season because we're still in the large school classification. So we're still in Class 4. So we haven't seen a lot of Class 4 competition, and that's going to probably hurt us at the end of the year, but we're going to keep struggling and keep trying to get to become the best that we can.
Out of state trip, you usually take one at the end of December with your wrestling team. I think you were scheduled to go to Claremore, Oklahoma. Obviously, you didn't do that this year.
Yeah, this has been a big disappointment for our senior class because, for the last several years, we've gone out of state to a tournament like that, to Louisiana, Tennessee, Kentucky, Minnesota, Oklahoma, and we were scheduled to go back to Oklahoma this year, and we can't do that because of the COVID, and I really hate that for our seniors because they spent a lot of time in the room and put a lot of effort in and raised a lot of money so they could be able to do that, but it is what it is.
And you talked about it from the standpoint of scheduling changes, and there's probably going to be more down the road with regards to the schedule. I wanted to ask you from the standpoint of you put your schedule together, and I think then the Missouri State High School Activity Association came out with the postseason schedule, and it looks to me, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but it looks to me like the state championships are the latest that they've ever been as far as in the state of Missouri is concerned, with the state championship scheduled for March the 9th through the 13th. So is there going to be a big gap between the end of your regular schedule when you will get involved with as far as the wrestling is concerned?
Yeah, there is, and that's going to be a problem keeping the kids motivated because spring sports will be starting, and we're usually done around the middle of February, 20th of February, somewhere like that. So we're going to about an extra 2 weeks, and that's going to make the season longer, so we got to find ways to motivate our kids to keep them fresh and keep them excited about what they're going to be doing because it's a long season anyway, and it's a physical grind.
Let's spend a moment and talk about the modifications that have been made for this year. I'm going to get your thoughts with regards to that. The number of districts has been expanded from 4 to 8, and a sectional round has been added to the postseason. I want to get your thoughts on those two things, first of all.
Well, this is just taking us back 20 years. It's what we used to do, 15, 20 years ago. We used to have districts went with 8 teams and go to a sectional, and then the only difference is right now, a long time ago you got to qualify 4 kids out of your sectionals. This year they're trying to keep the state down and it's only going to be three kids qualify out of your sectional. So, I mean, we have to do what we have to do to have a season, and I applaud the state for thinking ahead to try to get us, you know, where we can at least have a season.
Mm-hmm. And the Missouri State High School Activities Association Championships are going to be broken into five individual tournaments, each conducted in one day, correct?
Correct.
And then the number of state qualifiers in each class, and I think you mentioned this just a minute ago, been reduced this year from 16 to 12 in order to be able to do a tournament in the entire one day, right?
Correct.
Okay. Correct. Tell me about your wrestling team.
Well, you know, they've been a really big surprise. They've done a good job, and I'll go through our lineup right now. At 106, we have a senior, DeJuan Wallace, and he's doing a really good job this year. He's really coming into his own, so we're happy with him. We're expecting some good things out of him. At 113, we have Dominic Stafford. He is a little freshman boy that is coming in and just getting better every day, and we really like what we see in him. At 120 has been Eli Tiberius. He's another freshman that's done a great job. He has a successful varsity record, and we expect a lot out of him in the future. And at 126, we have Brandon Waterhausen, another freshman who is doing really good right now. And at 132, we have Christian Stone, a returning varsity letterman for us. He's doing a good job. At 38, we have a senior in Hunter Walling. And, he's trying to get down to a lower weight class so he can have a very successful senior year. At 145, we have sophomore JoJo Custer. And, he's just a tough kid. He's a brother of the Custers who's wrestled for us for years. And he's just, he's a little bit tougher than the other boys. I mean, he's got a little fire in his belly. And at 152, we have two young men. We have had Trey Hendricks, and he hurt his knee. Now Clayton Hurley's in there. He's returning varsity letterman for us. And then they're both done a good job. And it'll be interesting to see who comes back and wins that challenge match after Christmas. At 160 is Tanner Quick. He's doing a good job. He's coming up from JV last year, so he's kind of had to make some adjustments to the varsity level. And then at 170 is Will Berenson, who's quite an accomplished wrestler for us, a former state qualifier. And then Michael Fredericks is at 185 and doing a really good job. He's just a tough kid. And then at 195 is Jaquiel Hayes, probably one of the most athletic kids I've ever coached. He's just a tremendous athlete. He's very, very quick. At 220, we have Brant Alber back, who's a returning state place winner for us, and so he's doing a good job. And at heavyweight, we have Isaac Enloe, who's a first-year varsity wrestler, but doing a very good job.
14 weight classes. It sounds like you have a full lineup right now.
Well, right now we do, but you never know. Most of our kids who have gotten traced have gotten it from home. They haven't got it from school. They haven't, they've got it from family members. They've got it from outside the wrestling room and outside the school. So we spent some money this year to clean our room and to get a machine that keeps the air in our room clean and everything. So as far as wrestling's going, that's doing pretty good. Most of our kids are getting traced or something. They're getting it from somewhere else besides the school.
Well, you take a look at your schedule in January. I think the Capital City tournament's on the 9th, Jefferson City tournament on the 16th. Wrestle at home against Elias on the 20th, and then you have the conference tournament on the 30th. You'll be very busy in January, won't you?
There's not going to be a whole lot of time for practice, so our kids better tone it up and get it ready. We start next Thursday at Sedalia, and so it goes pretty good. And then not only that, we have a Hickman tournament thrown in there. So
right.
January is always a busy month for us, and that's the way we like it. We want the kids wrestling as much as we can in the month of January.
Coach, quickly, I want to go back to the postseason tournament again because I want to make sure I get this correct. It looks to me, when I took a look at it again last night, the boys' districts are February the 13th, boys' sectionals February the 27th, and the state championships are March the 9th through the 13th. Is that correct? Is there a two-week gap between the districts and the sectionals?
Yeah, that's what it looks like. That's what they're doing. They're trying to, in case a kid would get COVID or get traced, so that they could, make it back to the state tournament.
Well, that would be to the advantage, too, of wrestlers, because I remember back when you had districts and then sectionals, you had to come right back after districts and wrestling several matches in districts and had to come back and wrestle again in sectionals on a very quick short period of time, so this gives them a little more time to heal and to get ready for the next part of the postseason tournament.
Yes, it does. It does, and maybe get a little bit better shape. But it's going to take some kids with some pretty good maturity to be able to utilize that time to their benefit. So, and that'll be the job of the coaches to make sure that happens.
Minute left to go in our program. What do you like most about your wrestling team right now?
Oh, they're fun. They're just like the rest of the Jays that I've coached. These kids are a lot of fun. They like to laugh. They like to work hard. They want to be successful. And so when you got that combination of fun and wanting to be successful, it makes it very enjoyable.
Coach, thanks for the visit. Continued success as you head through a very busy month of January.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, Jefferson City Jays head wrestling coach Phil Cagle again back in action, scheduled on January the 7th as they will have a meet at Sedalia Smith Cotton. That's a Central Missouri Activities Conference meet on the 7th. Again, Capital City Tournament scheduled for January the 9th. Jefferson City's tournament scheduled for January the 16th. A duel against Helias at the Fleming Fieldhouse on January the 20th. And then the conference tournament scheduled for January the 30th. High school basketball on Thursday, as we will be at Capital City High School as the Cavaliers will meet Columbia Battle. 7:15 with our pregame show, 7:30 with the play-by-play. We'll see you next week.
Radio 950 KWOS and on FM at 104.5 KWOS Jefferson City.